Straight Talk from Israel.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
This is Natalie Kapinski, your host, radio show Returning Home. Thank you for joining us. We have a very interesting show today. We will be speaking to people who are moving to Israel, two different ones. Both are new immigrants, even to America. One is originally from Venezuela. He's been in America since, I believe, 2000. So he's not a new immigrant, okay? But he's not like a third generation American like me and my peers. So it's very interesting to talk to him and to hear his point of view and his attitude about making Aliyah. Our second guest, same situation. She is formerly from the former Soviet Union, lives in New York her entire life. She's now an adult, she's 34 years old, and making her plans to move to Israel too. She has some difficult hurdles to overcome just because of the bureaucracy being so thick. And I keep hearing that from people moving, and I really thought they were just complaining because they had never had to do anything bureaucratic before. But she tells me it's really quite difficult, and people do give up, and they think, okay, when things settle down, I'll come later, I'll come in a year, I'll try it next year. But she's concerned, and I think rightly so, that things may not get easier to move to Israel. Things may even get harder. So if you're thinking about it, and I said this before, and I'll continue to say it, if you're thinking about moving to Israel, get moving. Do not wait. There's no reason to wait. This is the time. You know, it's now the 9 days, and in Israel, you feel it. I think in any religious Jewish environment, you feel it. There's a change, you know, it's a serious time. Back thousands of years ago, this is when baseless hatred led to the destruction of the temple. And we fast on Tisha B'Av, which is going to be on Thursday, and it is the saddest day of the year. And baseless hatred is a horrible thing. And when things really do spiral out of control and people are divided, it's terrible, and it leads to dangerous outcomes. And that's what happened back then. And I think these things happen over and over throughout history. I think we can all see that right in front of our face today. So take stock, and here we're very careful, and I'm sure we'll discuss it a little more later. But stay tuned, and we will be back shortly.
Israel is located in one of the most volatile areas in the world. Israel is an island of stability in a sea of war and unrest. In the midst of this turmoil, Israel stands out as a beacon of order and human progress. Each week we update you on what's happening in this, the Jewish state, a true light unto the nations. This is Jay Shapiro. Join me every Thursday on Israel News Talk Radio.
Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Welcome back to Returning Home. I'm your host, Natalie Zipinski, and we're speaking with Moshe Dejman. Moshe?
Yes.
Yofi, so thank you for being available.
Yeah, sure. Not a problem.
So this is great. I have been looking for someone to talk to. So many people want to be private. I don't know why. But I'm glad you are not among them.
Well, yeah, it isn't something that I'm like looking to like you know, by myself publicize, but I heard what you recorded on your first I guess episode, and that was very appealing, meaning there was a lot of stuff there that was useful to me. And I'm sure it will be useful as well. I mean, that just to have that to relate with.
I think it always helps to know who you're talking to also, right?
Yeah, exactly. That's it.
Yeah, femme-ode. Okay, so tell me your story, or tell me a little bit about you and your family and what's going on.
Okay, yeah. So my My story has a lot of components to it. We live in Baltimore currently. Yeah, been living here since 2011. I'm originally from Venezuela, and I moved to Miami in 2000 when I was 15. And my whole growing up, my mom always told me, was because my grandfather moved from Europe to Venezuela in 1935, 2 years after Hitler came into power over there. And his Spanish teacher told him that a war was going to break out and you got to get out of here. And he acted pretty quickly, and he made it to Venezuela, which was at a time when the doors to Venezuela for Jewish immigrants was opened for a very brief period of time. And he made it there in 1935. And so he always told my mom, who always told me the same thing, that, you know, whenever you see a communist government come up, you have to just get out of there. That's just, you know, we're Jews, that's what we do. We don't. and in general, that within that umbrella, that really to me means just whenever you see like darkness starting to envelop a country, then you gotta like just act. I wasn't planning on moving from the United States at all. Once I moved here, it took me 16 years to become a citizen. 2016, I became a citizen of the United States. But at the same time, I never thought myself to be like, this is my place. I'm happy to be here for a long time. And all my actions were very long-term oriented. But I always had our passports 100% ready to go. We have four kids. My oldest is 9, going to be turning 10 in September. And then from there, I have another daughter who is 7, a son who is 5, and a daughter who's 2.
Beautiful.
So I always had their passports 100%. I'm not that I was looking to do anything, but just based on my own personal story and what I've lived through in my life, I wasn't about to become complacent. So like on the one hand, I'm here for a long time. On the other hand, I'm ready to go if it's necessary to do so.
Well, that is a very good attitude. I got to say, it's not complacent. It's like, you're not too comfortable.
Yeah, I mean, and even my wife, we were just discussing this because we're pretty close to the final stages here of actually getting like a date. As I mentioned to you, I don't have an actual date yet, but we're hoping for it to be at the end of August or middle of August, optimistically. And my birthday was on May 17th, and I certainly did not have this idea in my mind on May 17th.
Which idea? The idea to leave?
Yeah.
Really?
Really.
That was just about 2 months ago, though.
I already had in my mind that I'm going that things are really not like panning out the way that I mean things are getting me a little bit like uncomfortable. I hadn't said anything to anyone at that point, but then things started to happen like kind of very quickly in terms of like things that to me were very big, alarming
developments. Tell me what that is. Tell me when you say things.
Yeah. So. The dissolution of democracy in terms of the way that
you're talking about the coronavirus? Is that what you're talking about?
I'm just talking about the political landscape. But the coronavirus, what it did is it caused a lot of irresponsible fiscal policy to come into place. And that to me is very scary because I know what massive money printing does to an economy. I'm from Venezuela. So I saw it happen very, very much so in Venezuela. You know, everything is very parallel. At the beginning, when I used to tell people, I used to like say like, oh, this is turning like into Venezuela. And I would say it like kind of half jokingly. And over like as time went on, I'm like, no, really, this is really turning into, like I have lived this movie before.
Mm-hmm. So you said you're going to hopefully get a date and then go. I got to tell you also, you're telling me you've been only aware of your plans since May 17th. 2 months is pretty fast, really fast. We are getting calls on my Partners in Aliyah group, people who are not moving along at all quickly. They are very, very frustrated. Now, then again, what does quickly mean? Okay, they might be upset because they don't get an answer from Nefesh B'Nefesh in 1 day. But 2 months sounds pretty good to get things moving. I gotta say,
with all of that, the way that the Nefesh B'Nefesh works, at least in my experience, has been that they kind of make it so that you have the ability to drag your application forward by calling them, by being on top of things, by really putting, you know, pressing on the gas. And it seems like to me, you know, I don't have that much experience with Israeli daily life, but that's seems to be a pretty common type of theme, that if you elbow your way forward, then you have that ability. Here in the United States, everything is, you know, take a number and we'll get to you, and that's pretty much it. Over there, you know, if you're pounding on the table louder than the other person, then you move forward.
Bidiuk, exactly. That's right. Good for you.
The other aspect is that this is not an idea that just me that I just have. This is clearly something that probably everybody is at least thinking about a little bit. Some people more than others. And to me, the biggest difference is just making that decision. Meaning, I think a lot of people's antennas are attuned to the same frequencies that are out there, and everyone has that feeling, or a lot, you know, to differing levels of sensitivity, depending on your background and what you're used to and what you are paying attention to. Yeah. But I think the majority of the people of Jews in America are probably, for the first time in their life, really starting to think about this type of question that I don't think anybody ever thought about before at all seriously, other than people who were very, you know, gung-ho about wanting to go to Israel for their particular reasons. But here, I think even the neutrals are starting to
open
contemplate.
Their eyes. And that's right.
In my mind, everyone is in that same spot. The only difference really is how quickly do you move? Because over time, the waves get bigger, and then by the time you really want to go, and everyone also wants to go at the same time, like, you know, the exits are packed, and you can't really do it anymore. Or, you know, or
that's
it's
right.
just a way longer
that's
type
right.
of
that's right
a longer type of wait. Or
it's a scary thing. You're saying. Oh God, it's so.
So to me, it's just the main difference between, you know, who gets to go on their own terms. as opposed to somebody, you know, as opposed to terms imposed on you based on the scenario that's unfolding, is how quickly you do it. So when I left Venezuela in 2000, we were able to sell our apartment for dollars, and my mom was able to sell her practice. She's a dentist. We were able to dictate the terms of our move. Whereas people who left much later, they didn't. They weren't able to sell their house for what they wanted. It was worth much less, and they didn't want to sell it because just a little bit ago, they could have gotten a lot more and not anymore. And so they wanted to hold out a little bit more. And then by the time they're like, okay, fine, I'll take that previous offer. It's not there anymore. And it just keeps on that ground keeps shifting. And if people take a while to like recalibrate, and by the time they recalibrate to the previous one, it's already shifted again.
Yeah.
And then they're like, okay, fine, I'll do it in whichever way. And then it's like, well, it's too late. You can really only go to like Chile, you know, not the United States anymore. You know, you can, that was just Venezuela, and that was my experience. So that to me was just, you know, once I was like convinced, like really strongly convinced that.
So good. So you have experience, like real life experience. A lot of Americans are third generation Americans, and they've never known anything like you have known. They've grown up in the States, probably some of them in the same neighborhood where they're living now. And I think that they are the ones with the biggest hurdle to overcome. They probably never left. You know?
That is my wife's experience.
Yeah, okay. So, I mean, I bet there are people, and I know there are people like this, who even have like second homes in Israel, and they only come here for the Pesach and Sukkot. And to them, Israel is like a beach house, but they've never lived here. Those people, I cannot believe that those people are still there in the States. Those people to me are crazy. I mean, you have a home here. You know Israel, you come here your whole life. Why aren't you here? Because they don't see what you see. They don't feel what you feel. But tell me what you are doing, like physically, what are you doing? You're packing up your house. You have a lift, you told me. What does that involve?
It involves throwing the football without having there be a receiver underneath and hoping by the time the football comes down, there'll be someone there to catch it.
That's right. That's right. It's taking a chance. That was pretty intense. To hear someone making a decision to move to Israel in just 2 months. No guarantees. Will his things even get there? I've got to say, I love the attitude. I hope it's contagious. And for all you listeners out there, stick around. We'll be back after this break.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
Tamar, she's sassy.
She's smart.
She's funny.
But she's also a real Jewish mother.
Hi, everybody. I'm Tamar Yonah. And yes, I can be all of those things, but at Israel News Talk Radio, I'm here to bring you the news stories and guests that you may not hear anywhere else. Join me live on air Sundays, Mondays, and Tuesdays for the most unique and bold talk radio in Israel.
The Tamar Yonah Show.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
Psalm 23, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Did you know this psalm and many others were composed by a Jewish shepherd and musician who later became a king? Would you like to know some of the inner meanings of psalms to help you connect with God and strengthen your soul? An exciting and easy-to-read book is now available, which will help you do just that. Software for the Soul, Psalms for Everyone, available on Kindle, Audible, and Amazon.com. Software for the Soul.
Modesty at the beach? It isn't just about body image. It's about feeling good. Modest swimsuits, so we don't get burned by the sun.
So we won't get ogled by strangers.
So we'll feel free to express ourselves without the need to expose ourselves.
Let Marcy Modest help you to cover up what you want, how you want.
Made in Israel.
Visit MarcyModest.com. That's M-A-R-S-E-A Modest.com.
And get a 10% discount on your first purchase.
Two new shows on Israel News Talk Radio.
The return of the Jewish people to the land of Israel was prophesied in the Bible thousands of years ago and is coming true today. Shalom. Join me, Josh Wander, on Israel Unplugged. Listen in as we delve into the spiritual and physical aspects of the Jewish return to Zion. We'll discuss the biblically mandated, historic, and of course practical understandings of this incredible transition from exile to redemption. That's Israel Unplugged, every Monday on IsraelNewsTalkRadio.com.
How did a nice Jewish girl from Delaware end up living in Israel? Shalom, I'm Natalie Sapinski. Join me on my show, Returning Home. Meet different people who have moved to Israel. Hear their personal stories, their highs, their lows, and everything in between. Each week, we talk to experts on immigration and the process of moving to Israel. Listen to Returning Home every Thursday, only on Israel News Talk Radio. Hi there. We are speaking today to Yael Julinov, 32-year-old woman with her family living in Brooklyn, New York. And Yael is planning to move with her family to Israel this year, 2020. And Yael, welcome to the show.
Thank you, Natalie. I'm so happy to be here.
I'm glad we got a chance to connect. You have a little bit of a story that really, you told me when we quickly spoke that it's unique, but I got to tell you, it is not. I'll just tell our listeners, Yael is American, but she was born in the former Soviet Union, and there are lots of Jews in the same situation as Yael looking now to come to Israel, and they actually have to do some sort of extra bureaucracy, and Yael is going to tell us all about that because she has done it, and she's on her way. So Yael, take it away.
Okay, all right. So yes, when you start your application through Nefesh B'Nefesh, or whether you decide to go through to the Jewish agency right away, you have the regular application, right? And that application, when I did that, it took me 4 or 5 months max, and I had my interview done in December, and I thought, okay, I'm all done. Yeah, no, that's not what happened after that. I had to do the former Soviet Union application. I was only 3 years old when I had left Russia, but they still wanted a lot of information.
Now, when you say they, how did they even know?
Well, that's the funny thing. They, because they ask you, and if you, you know, they want your birth certificate. They want original documents to everything. Even with the regular American application, they want birth certificates, and they want a apostille on everything original that you can't put an apostille on. You know, they want that.
A apostille is like a certification, right?
Yes, yes. It's an authentication of the document saying that it's an original, it's not fraudulent. And the state or the federal, depending on which one they want. Usually for birth certificates, it's a state apostille. For this new shtick that they pulled, the FBI check, they want a federal apostille. So that's another red tape.
Okay, that so slow down. I just want to understand. I made Aliyah a long time ago. I don't remember this. I don't remember it being a big deal at all. So what you really need is your birth certificate and an FBI check.
No, that's not how it goes in here. If you're going with a family, especially, and you know, even if you're a single person, they want a million more things. They want a health declaration. They want a rabbi letter. Uh-huh. They want entry and exit forms, some other waiver form. There's so many form after form after form. But that is all very doable still, relatively doable compared to the former Soviet Union application. That one really make you, sadly, kind of bring you to your knees and really let you feel the sharpness of the bureaucracy. And just when you think you may have satisfied all their requirements, they actually come back at you with another list. Mm-hmm. And yeah, and it came to a point where, and this is something that I actually was just telling a few other people the other day who also have this application to work through. And I said to them, you know, the faster you get through the point where you're really angry and upset about, you know, how difficult this application is, and so many people feel like it's unfair. Israel let in so many Russians in, and they weren't even Jews, but us, they're giving such a hard time to. And I said, yes, I know how you feel. I've been there for an entire year. And so the sooner you just accept that, you know, you're going to have to do this, the sooner you can use that fire as fuel. So, right. Yeah, you're going to have to accept the process, and, you know, you're going to have to give them everything that they ask for, and, you know, start searching. And there are organizations that can help. I did not use these organizations because I was able to find another route. But there are also lawyers that I know do this.
Well, can I interrupt you for a minute? Yeah. And,
tell
me what type of thing they're asking for that is
so what they ask for is your birth certificates, which are understandable, but then they also ask for your parents' birth certificates and your parents' marriage certificates, and then they also ask for your grandparents' marriage certificates.
That's ridiculous.
Yeah, it gets worse. It came to a point where they asked us this is really bad. They said to us that we needed to get our parents' birth registration. Now, let me explain something, okay? In the former Soviet Union, when somebody was born, you got a birth certificate, and they had this book. It's like a book of life events where they literally jot down with a pen, on this and this day, so-and-so was born to this and this person. Next line. on this and this day, so-and-so person died, okay? So it's literally a book of events. And what they asked us to do was go get a colored copy of this. And when I had asked, my mother-in-law still lives there. When she asked them for this, they said, we can't give you a copy of that because there's personal information there. We can give you a document stating which line this event is recorded in, and we'll put a seal on it. And they gave that. And the Jewish agency was still not happy with that. They said, no, you should go petition the court. Can you believe that? During a pandemic, I'm going to petition a court in former Soviet Union while I'm here for them to violate their privacy rights and give me this document. It's mind-boggling when we have these birth certificates.
Right.
Yeah, that was the worst part. And I actually then, after going back and forth for months about this, they finally relented when I had sent in an email. So I'm hoping this next part will help your listeners. I sent in an email showing pictures of the grandparents' graves. And, you know, that's not something you can really fake, because they're not going to bury someone unless they're sure that they're Jewish. Mm-hmm. So that helped us. And then they were able to say, fine, we don't need to do that. But it's really ridiculous.
It is ridiculous. I'm very happy to have you here telling everyone this, because I made a point in my show, my last show, don't wait. You want to come to Israel? Come now. All the problems and all the bureaucracy that you're telling us about, it might get worse.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. That's the thing. When I joined some groups, and these were certain people who have some connections and pull in Israel, and I told them, listen guys, you have to start telling your government to open up the doors, because it's affecting me before it even affects you. And the funny thing is, 6 months after I said that, the FBI background check came up, and people were just astounded. Mm-hmm. Because this FBI background check, it's a whole thing until you get your fingerprints, fine. But then the federal apostille, I mean, that was difficult. People were using the service because, you know, they thought that might be faster, and everything was closed. And then the worst part, this stuff only lasts for 6 months. How do you even plan around that?
Yeah.
You know, it's like 2 months until you get it back, and then you have 4 months to make a decision. It's not
so you're right. So exactly. You just, I say this before I even spoke with you or knew any of this, even before I hosted this radio program. You want to come? Come. Just come. You don't need to have everything planned out.
Yeah.
You don't need to have a plan. Just get over here and things will work out. We are all Jews. We will all help, and you will find your way. Just get over here and get through that business and get out of there. It is not looking good. It is not good to hear this. It is frightening. And, you know, I was scared when I saw the what are they called? The riots on the streets?
Oh, yes. Oh, my gosh.
Crazy. But hearing now it's quiet, and hearing this, it's like, okay, what else has to happen for Jews to open their eyes and realize they don't belong there anymore? Why don't American Jews just get up and leave? It's not the place for them anymore.
Okay. So why won't American Jews just get up and leave? That's because the Aliyah process in and of itself is very overwhelming. You know, they start and then just drop it because all that paperwork and over complications, and it feels too hard. So you think, okay, I'll do it when, you know, things are a little bit better in my life. And the other thing is, a lot of people are really looking for others to make an example, such as myself. My family said that if I make Aliyah, then they will consider making Aliyah on a very serious note. And so I said, well, that's so interesting. You guys are waiting for me to go. You know, we really should be just getting up and going as a group. Yeah. But everybody's waiting to see what it looks like for everyone else. So you're going to have that first group. It's going to come in waves.
Thank you, Yael, that
That is good to hear, and I'm glad we are going to be welcoming so many of our brothers and sisters from America in waves. I guess it'll take a few years, but we'll get them here. Stay tuned for our last segment. We're going to be speaking with Zezi Fold. He's in New York, and he's going to tell us what the climate is there. He has been meeting with lots of people, and there is very strong interest in making Aliyah in his area. He's in the Five Towns. We'll be with him, and we'll be back in just a few minutes.
In a time where feelings have become fact, where rational thought and common sense has disappeared, one man stands above it all.
I'm Howie Sobiker, your political hitman.
Political Hitman airs every Tuesday at 11:59 p.m. North American time, 7 a.m. Israeli time, only on Israel News Talk Radio.
Are you interested in transforming your life, drawing closer to the Creator, and uncovering the deeper meanings and hidden treasures in the Hebrew Bible?
Then join me, Rav Yitzhak Michelson.
And me, William Hall.
On The Science of Kabbalah, where we are seeking to narrow the gap between what we understand of our physical and spiritual worlds. So make sure to tune in every Tuesday at 5 p.m. Israel time, 10 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, here on Israel News Talk Radio.
And I'm speaking here with Zezi Fold. Zezi, say hello to our fans.
Hey, how are you? Natalie, thanks for having me on again.
All right. So Zezi's in New York this summer, and he runs a camp for children. And on the side, he tells me he has been meeting with different people in the community who want to make Aliyah. So Zezi, why don't you tell me how that's going, how it's happening, and what kind of interest there is?
Yeah, thank you. It's actually been really crazy. I did not expect it to be blowing up as much as it is. People basically found out that I was here. Some people I let them know. Some people found out from other people. But they're asking to meet with me. And they're asking to meet with me really for all sorts of reasons and at different timelines in their Aliyah process. Some people are literally at the beginning, not even neophytes, as you would say. They're literally at the beginning. We're just seeing the writing on the wall in America, and we want out. So what do we need to do? And then some of them are like, hey, listen, we're making Aliyah in 3-4 weeks. We just want some help to make sure we have the right people on the floor in the Galil, and we need the right people to help us with the finances. I'd love to go over with you a little bit about what these conversations were. It really is super exciting for me to help these people out. Some people, like, literally on one of the groups this past week are like, can I ask something completely inappropriate? Who are you? Like, why are you doing this? And people don't usually believe me when I say, I'm like, I'm just doing this to help people out. Totally not judgmental, not saying you should make Aliyah, not saying you shouldn't make Aliyah. I'm there just to help you out and give you the information you need to make the best decision you can for yourselves and for your family.
Yeah, you probably are acting as somewhat of a sounding board. Maybe some of these people don't have anybody nearby, right?
Yeah, and I'm literally getting the spectrum. I'm getting people that have no family in Israel, and I'm getting people who have tons of family, but they just need some extra guidance. So I'm getting both sides. Yeah, it's pretty interesting.
Yeah, some of our listeners may want to take note that just because you have family in Israel doesn't mean your family is some Aliyah expert. We're getting comments on our different Aliyah groups, and some of these people have parents here, have siblings here, have aunts and uncles here, and they sound like they're alone. And having family here doesn't guarantee anything and doesn't necessarily help in the process, right?
Yeah, 100%. And what's interesting is when people find out that I really just made Aliyah less than a year ago, they're like, whoa, how do you have all these connections? It just happens to be that I'm a well-connected person. So even though I've only been there for a year, I'm able to help people out in different categories, help them get the information that they need.
Uh-huh. So this is very good. There are probably and a ton, I mean, hundreds of people in that five towns area who have been Zionists their whole life, have been visiting Israel their whole life, and now maybe for the first time in their life are thinking seriously about moving, right?
Yes, it's actually really, really interesting. So far I've met with about, at this point, it's probably around 70 people. The numbers are growing by the day. I have a meeting on two meetings on Tisha B'Av, one that has 20 people coming and one that has 5 people coming. I just don't have time. Baruch Hashem, thank God I have this camp going on and I'm very busy, but I'm trying to make my time as I can with everything else going on. I have a baseball game tonight. You know what I'm saying? I got to take care of my own, myself also.
Yeah.
But it's really impressive. I have a couple of friends who are actually not Zionistic at all. They're actually anti-Zionistic. But they're also trying to figure out, it's not even a Zionistic thing at this point. People are just understanding that Israel is the home of all Jews. And whether I'm a Zionistic and I believe in the Medina, in the government, or not, I believe that that's the home for all Jews. And as I said before, the writing is on the wall. People are just looking at it and saying, I gotta have an exit plan. You know what I'm saying? We were very comfortable in 1933 and saying, listen, we're big in Nazi Germany. We're big in the government. Nothing could ever happen to us. And people didn't start having an exit plan. I'm not saying that's where America is today. I'm saying we're seeing a lot of similarities and we just have to be so careful. Just recently, just a couple of days ago, there was a pastor in Pennsylvania who posted on his Twitter mentioning other people in the community that he sides like and agrees with. And he posted an advertisement from Nazi Germany. And basically the advertisement said, know who our masters are. And talking about the Jews who are their masters, which is kind of obviously ridiculous. So we know that. We're no one's masters. And we are Orlagayim. We are a light unto the nation. And we try to help out the nations of the world. But at no point are we, we're trying to take over. At no point the Jews are not trying to take over the world. They're not trying to run anything. We're just trying to help out the world, and it's an amazing thing to see the amount of Pulitzer Prizes and Peace Prizes that Israel has won in this little baby of a country. How many different Peace Prizes and different awards the country has won? It's amazing what the infancy that is in Israel and how big it's become in such a little amount of time. It's so impressive to see.
Yes, but that anti-Semitic tweet from that pastor was not talking about Israel. He was talking about Jews.
Right, and that's why the Jews in America are looking at the writing on the wall or on the Twitter feeds and that's saying, right. I got to get out of here.
Yeah,
it's nothing
everyone,
to do with Israel.
Yeah, they need to also, it's the same thing that happened 70 years ago, maybe 75 years ago now, we're talking about the 1930s. Writing's on the wall. We've seen this movie before. The only difference is now there's an Israel. And hey, there's an Israel, and it's working, and there's running water, there's electricity, there's Wi-Fi, you know, there's, like, what are you people waiting for?
Right.
What are you waiting for?
Right. I mean, I Natalie, I just want to correct one thing. I know we're on radio, and we got to make sure we're correct. 70 years ago was about 1950, that was past the war. My dad
way back. Okay, so way back.
Yeah, I'm saying my dad is a math professor, and he's going to yell at me if I don't correct him, so I have to correct that one. I apologize.
Yeah, but 90 years ago, so what are we saying, 80 years ago?
We're 80, 85 years ago at this point, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
It's crazy, but it's now. It's like, it's my grandparents, it's my mother's parents.
It's
like
two, yeah.
It's, yeah.
It's only two generations, and it only takes
And we're forgetting how soon we...
Yeah, forget.
Yeah, how soon do we forget?
Yeah.
Okay. So, if you don't mind, I'd like to tell you. Sorry. I'd like to tell you a little bit about these meetings. They're unreal.
Okay.
If that's okay with you.
Tell me.
So some people are literally coming to me and they're starting the meeting like, "Hey, what do I need to do to make Aliyah?" And a lot of them, I literally guide them to Nefesh B'Nefesh, and I said, and all my people that I guide, I always tell them, "Don't get lost during the process. I'm still with you the whole way through." So if you at one point are not getting through to somebody in one of the agencies or whatever, just contact me. I'll help you out. I have contacts in many different agencies and I'll help you out. So I always tell people, no matter what, even if I'm handing you off, so to say, to Nefesh B'Nefesh or Partners in Aliyah, which is a website we'll discuss in a second, If I'm handing you off, I'm not handing you off. I still have your back. I'm still here for you. I'm never leaving you. You know what I'm saying? I'll help you throughout, even on the other side. When you're in Israel, I'll help you on that side also. So some people are literally in the infancies. They're, what do I need to do? Well, how do I start the process? And it's so interesting to see, like, it's a beautiful thing to see to be these people who are literally just ready to jump. I just met with a couple from Flatbush, New York, two nights ago. Today's Monday. Yeah, Saturday night, I think it was. And it was so beautiful. They've been to Israel twice in their life. They're in their late 60s and early 70s. And they're just like, we just want to go. We know our kids are here in America. We know, and hopefully they'll follow us. But we know this is the right move, and we know this is the right time, and we just got to go. And it was so beautiful to see the simplicity of it, knowing that we just got to go. It was so simple. It was so beautiful. And I helped them out. I set them up. I started them up with Nefesh B'Nefesh, my stepdad, who's been very helpful, helping people, help them out with their financial background, help them understand how to transfer money in Israel. If you need to transfer your money to Israel, how do you collect Social Security in Israel? Where you're paying your taxes? Are you paying your taxes in America and Israel? Hopefully on this show, I think, Natalie, you told me on your show, you're going to have, like, over the next few weeks, you're going to have people like that. We're going to help.
Yes.
Explain this to people.
Different experts. Awesome. I mean, they can only cover so much here on these segments, but at least introduce them, and giving their information is very helpful. Like, Zezi, you should give your phone number here, also your website, so people can contact you. They can contact me. They can go to the Israel News Talk Radio site, and on the top there, you can write in the chat. You can look me up. But yeah, we need to connect as many people as we can, because some people really just need their hand held, at least for the beginning. And sometimes they get frustrated, and you'll hear that people give up. And you're right; they need to see, like you said, they need to see the forest. Don't get all caught up in the trees, right? Is that the right expression?
Yeah, that was pretty good. There are so many times when you see the negativity. Like, I had somebody tell me, like, I don't want to move to Israel because I see that the Haredim and the Chilonim fight with each other. I said that's the most beautiful thing in the world. They're fighting over the rights of what is right in the world. You know what I'm saying? Like, they're fighting over the Torah. They're fighting, like, in here in America, like, one of the rabbis that I was speaking to recently, he said to me, he's like, you know, it's very hard to see. And in America, when somebody does something wrong in Judaism, people, like, in the community kind of look the other way. And sometimes people are more soft about it. In Israel, there's no softness. If you do something wrong, they call you out on it. And he says, it's a very hard thing coming from America to seeing it. But I mean, the writing is on the wall. I didn't tell you this last week, but I'm telling you now. I've been to four different shuls over the last 5 weeks. And every single week, the message is the same from each rabbi. And I'm going to speak to these rabbis. Obviously, they're saying this on Shabbos, but each one of them, their message is the same.
Really?
Have an exit plan.
Really?
Have an exit plan. Don't be comfortable here. And I'm telling you, these are rabbis from the spectrum. I'm not one of these rabbis that I'm talking about is a modern Orthodox Zionistic rabbi. These are people who are ultra Orthodox in very right-wing communities. They're just telling their community people, we should not be comfortable here anymore. Look at what the parasha is telling us. Get out.
Pretty strong words. Thank you, Zezi. That's our show for today.
Where can you get the inside news on Israel? At Israel News Talk Radio, we're dedicated to sharing Israel's inside story with the world by providing our listeners with news on Israeli politics, current affairs, and Israeli Jewish culture. The Israel News Talk Radio homepage also provides you, the listener, with useful information at your fingertips, with scrolling news headlines, weather, currency exchange, Shabbat candlelighting times, and so much more. Our radio programming is always accessible and on demand. We operate absolutely free of charge for everyone, everywhere. If you love what we do, partner with us now by becoming an Israel News Talk Radio supporter. With your support, you'll be inscribed on our Israel News Talk Radio Wall of Fame. There's nothing like us in the world. Be part of something great. Israel News Talk Radio, straight talk from Israel.
Howdy, this is Rita from League City, Texas. now living in Israel. And though my heart may have belonged to Texas, it now belongs to Israel and all the fantastic show hosts at Israel News Talk Radio.
Hi, this is Michael Solomon from Kiryat Arba, Israel. And why do I love listening to Israel News Talk Radio? Because I love listening to the interesting interviews they do and their news reporting that most other media sources don't cover.
Hey, this is Nicole Eko from Malmo, Sweden. It gets pretty cold here in Sweden, so I love cuddling up with a warm cup of tea while I listen to Israel News Talk Radio.
Hey, everybody, this is Frank Morris from Tennessee. Me and my dog Buster really love listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.
News, opinion, and more. You're listening to Israel News Talk Radio.